the threat or without the thought of somebody coming in and trying to put this particular gathering away. I just want to acknowledge those who have given their lives. Memorial Day is for those who have actually died in action. We have those who have done so in every branch of the service. If you have previously served in the armed forces in some capacity, could you stand right now? Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. These men have really served in a way that's been wonderful, and they just remind us of all the men who have gone before them, and have done that particular work. So thank you guys, and God bless you. So God bless those who are serving our country. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 6, which is where we're going to be this morning. Yes. Children's church. Okay, there is children's church. Kindergarten through, no, right? Yeah, children up through sixth grade. If you would like to go to children's church, you can head out the back with Greg and with the folks that are going to be leading children's church. So, we are embarking on a summer study starting this morning. The study is called Hashura Foundation. And what it is dealing with, and I really prayed about this, and it was funny because I had a talk with a couple of brothers on Wednesday night, and I said, you know, when you're faced with about three or four different things that none of them seem even remotely evil, how do you know which one is God's will? And a great answer was given to me, and it said, you know, it's not as much what section you choose, it's who you are. And if who you are is you're a man of God and you are basically serving in the Spirit and those kind of things, the rest of that stuff seemed to kind of take care of itself. So that was not the answer I wanted to hear, but it was a really good answer. Because, you know, mine was, what should I teach? And I think what God gave me as a result of what this brother shared was, well, it's not really what you should teach, it's who you are. And if what you teach flows from who you are, you'll be fine. As long as who you are is who God wants you to be. The other option is not so great. Want to start this series called How Firm a Foundation. And what we're going to do is, it's actually going to eventually jump back into the first 10 chapters of Genesis. And what it's coming out of is it's coming out of this whole idea that God has laid foundations. God himself, I believe that the scriptures teach that God himself made all that there is. It all came from God, and the fact of the matter is, it's all coming back to God. God made it with the creation. God will judge it at the end of the age when Christ returns and God brings final judgment upon this world. So if God is the one who made it, and God is the one who set its foundations in place, not just the world itself, but everything that is in the world. It used to be that theology was called the queen of the sciences. And it was called the queen of the sciences because it was held for many years until later during the Enlightenment, which I prefer to call more the Endarkenment. But during the Enlightenment, what happened was mankind began to throw off the idea that theology was the queen of the sciences and allowed the sciences pretty much to reign on their own and do kind of whatever they wanted, even to the point of denying and no longer acknowledging God. And as a result, a great amount of disorder actually began to come into our world because many of these sciences were no longer founded upon theology being the queen of the sciences. And basically what we're talking about here is God is the one who made everything. God is the one who set it in place. God is the one who set how it works, including society, including mankind, including the family, including all these things. And so if we have basically cast off the foundations of God and decided we're going to forge out on our own and build things our own way and do things our own way, what you're going to see in our world is tremendous amounts of disorder and tremendous amounts of upheaval because the very foundations are not being followed and the very foundations are not being acknowledged any longer. And therefore, what happens is you begin to find every kind of disorder, every kind of problem, every kind of mess that begins to come into the world. And thus, I believe we see that in our day. And what, as I sought the Lord, what I really felt like He was leading me toward, and again, this is just, God doesn't talk to me audibly, but what I sense from the Holy Spirit, what I sense is I just kept seeking Him. I had one brother say, you know, what do you feel like the people need? You know, bring the word in accordance with that. And he said, ultimately, what's on God's heart? And of course, that's really hard to ascertain. I want you to know, I don't believe I have a 100% track record of knowing what's on God's heart and bringing it. But I will promise you there is profit to the Scriptures. There is profit to the Word of God. And so hopefully this is in the flow of what God is doing. And what we're going to deal with is this whole idea of foundations. Now, it'll be 7 weeks after today, 8 weeks total. But today what we're going to look at is why foundations are vital. Let me read to you out of Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46. And that passage says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, why are foundations vital? Well, go back to the pictures, or go to the first picture. Well, that might be a good understanding of why foundations are vital. This is a famous building. If you've never seen it before, it's called the Leaning Tower of Pisa, not pizza, okay? This was not a Pizza Hut that was built on a bad foundation. It was actually a tower that was built during the Renaissance. And what happened was they didn't realize that the ground was soft. They didn't lay the foundation adequately. And as a result, as you can see, it is leaning. And it has been, architects for years have been trying to figure out how can we keep this beautiful artifact. And they've come to the conclusion, we can't. Eventually, that thing's going to fall over because there's no other way to right it because the foundation underneath it is a mess. And it's been sinking, and it's been sinking, as you can see, at an angle. And honestly, that other building is not really all that safe over there. Now, go to the next picture. Foundations matter, okay? Unless you, I don't know how you'd live in that house. You have a bad lean, we might say, okay? Not L-E-I-N, L-E-A-N, and you don't mind having a lean. It's not good to have a lean on your house, but believe me, when you have a L-E-A-N lean, it's bad, and that house is going to fall apart. Go to the next one, because here's kind of what mankind's done. This is another one that has a lean. This one leans to the right. I thought I would be good on both sides of the political spectrum, have one lean to the left, the other one lean to the right, but either way, you've got mankind's attempts to keep this thing together. I don't know why, but they've just set all these things up to deal with it. And yet in all three cases, with the Leaning Tower of Pisa and with these two particular homes, what has happened is there was not an adequate foundation laid. And as a result of there being a faulty foundation, the house itself is going to crumble. All it takes is the right event, and that house is going to fall apart. If you've ever watched a building being constructed, especially something that is rather large, it's kind of frustrating, isn't it? It seems like they take forever. They start breaking ground, and then it just seems like it takes forever for them to ever do anything above the ground. I mean, it is weeks and weeks and weeks before they ever do anything on the ground. Sometimes it's even months, and yet what they're doing is they're digging down into that ground. They're finding a solid place in that ground, or if it's not a solid ground, they're laying a very strong foundation, and they are setting it so that that foundation will be adequate for the entire building to be built. Right out front of this building, we have a thing called a portico chair. I only know that name because AC told it to me, and he was our architect. I call it a covering you drive under, okay? That's the Arkansas term for that. I think it's a universal term, but a portico share, whatever that means. And so, but it was funny because one of the things that the elders had asked was they looked at that thing and they said, hey, we've got tornadoes and stuff that blow through this area. How are we going to make sure that thing doesn't blow off? And then one day AC invited me out and we looked into the ground where they laid the foundation and the pillars. And honestly, all it was massive. It was like I've never seen anything like it. And there were literally screws that were this big coming up out of the ground that they then laid these posts that are out here. And there's actually metal posts underneath the brick. And they go in there. And then there were bolts like about that. And they had this, I would love to have seen the socket set that they used to put that thing in there. But they then put those bolts all the way down. And AC said, believe me, if a tornado comes through, the superstructure on it may be gone, but you will see four sticks coming up out of the ground. It's not going anywhere. And so the kind of foundation you lay is vital for the building. The building's not going to stand unless the foundation has been laid properly. And you lay a bad foundation, you're going to wind up with a bad building. That's just all there is to it. Let's take a look at this passage this morning and look at why foundations are so vital. Number one, everything depends on the foundation. Everything, saints. The entire building is going to depend upon the foundation that is laid. Our passage says this, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Jesus says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. Now, what is the ultimate foundation built upon? Well, first thing we need to realize before we do anything else is it's built upon the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's built upon the simple fact that God is God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we believe scripturally God exists in a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we need to understand this. It is based on that lordship of Almighty God, the lordship of Jesus Christ, and honestly, I believe even the lordship of the Holy Spirit. And what do we mean by that? When they speak, nothing else matters. Nothing is going to negate what they say. When Jesus says it, it's over. When Almighty God says it, it's over. The issue has been settled. Now, that's been rejected in our day. We've taken to a relativism that we decide whether we're going to adhere to it or not. And yet the simple fact of the matter is, if God's word has spoken on the matter, it is settled, it is done, truth has been established, the foundation has been laid, and I'm just telling you, you choose to build on anything else and you're going to wind up with disaster. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? In other words, not even religion matters. Because religion is calling him Lord, Lord, and then not doing what he says. Religion is empty. Religion is meaningless. Religion is dead if it does not have with it not just a hearing of God or a desire to say that we approach God, but we do so in such a way that we submit to his lordship, and then when he speaks, we act. Jesus said, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them. There it is. It is built upon hearing and then acting on what God / Jesus / the Holy Spirit, whatever the Word of God says, that is what it's built upon. It's built upon hearing and doing what God says. Hearing it first, we come and what we desire is we desire to hear God. We want to hear what God has to say. We want to hear what our Lord Jesus Christ has to say. And in that, saints, there's this beautiful thing that is called relationship that God brings us into. And in that relationship, we hear him. We come to know him. And then we are faced with whether this is truly going to be a foundation. We not only hear, it says we act on what he says. In other words, we hear him. It says in Matthew chapter 7, you do what he says. In other words, it's not a matter of, well, Lord, I'm going to come hear you, and then let's hear what everybody else has to say. Or, Lord, I'll come and hear you. If I don't like it, I'd like to modify it. And yet what Scripture says is, no, you hear it, and then you act on it. And you do what he says. And then he says, I will show you whom this man is like. And Scripture says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on a rock. hearing and acting on what God says, hearing and doing what God says, is the foundation. It is built upon a relationship with God where we hear Him and we act on what He says. That is the foundation. It is also compared to a foundation that is dug deep on the rock. And as we're going to find out, as we don't find out in this passage, but in the comparison passage over in Matthew chapter 7, you find out that one's built on rock, the other's built on sand. And if you'll go down to Florida and you'll see where they're building all these condominiums right on the coast, they don't stop digging until it's no longer sand, it's rock. And then they lay the foundation. And that's why you can have hurricanes blow through and it doesn't knock them over, because they have been founded upon rock. And you have to dig deep in order to get rock. Let me say this. If all you want is a surface relationship with God, you know, if all you want is something to add to your life, that's not the foundation, saints. It's not that we add a religious aspect of our lives. It's not that we say, well, I do all these things and I'd like to add, you know, I think it's good to go to church. I think it's good to raise your kids in church. I think it's good to do these things. Saints, that's not the foundation. The foundation is this. You have this relationship with God where you have dug deep into your life and you are founded upon the rock of who He is, what He says, and then acting on what He says in obedience. We need to understand this. The world itself is actually founded and built by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what was seen was made out of things which are not visible. You realize we believe that the Word of God is made, and it's called ex nihilo, or ex nihilo, and it means out of nothing. God spoke and the world came into being. The world is founded upon the Word of God. And what we see was not made out of things that are visible. It was made out of God declaring it into existence. And God has the power, because He is God, i.e. the next teaching, because it's the basis of how we understand who God is. That's one of the huge foundations. And God spoke and the world came into being. Now, I realize, and you need to realize, that it says in this passage, by faith we understand that the worlds were made by the Word of God. Because the only way we will ever understand this is by faith. Thus, the scientists begin to go, aha, we finally figured you out. We are based on proof. You are based on a pipe dream. Now, here's the thing. I would like to know, and if you would, please tell me, because right now I know it does not exist. Can you tell me the laboratory that has created life out of nothing yet? Can you tell me the laboratory where they have actually reenacted even basic chemicals, which, by the way, that's not fair. You got to start with nothing. They always say, well, we start with the primordial soup. Well, my question is, who made the primordial soup? And you keep going back and you keep going back. And thus, what happens is you wind up with the greater thinkers within the scientific realm. And actually, they wind up becoming more philosophers than actual scientists. And they say the universe is eternal. And thus, they say matter is eternal. Thus, you come to the whole idea of not theism, but you have naturalism. All there ever is, all there ever was, and all there ever will be is the natural order. All there ever is matter, how matter came into being. That's arguable, but then you finally end up with matter is all there is, all there ever has been, and all there ever will be. Matter, by its very nature, has no morality. Matter, by its very nature, has no laws, except those which, and it's funny that they say that laws even existed, because how do you get laws out of nothing? Why would nature even make a law? Especially if it's just matter and it's just random and it started with a giant explosion, like they say. And so really what you need to grasp is this. Whatever your origin or your view of origins are, they're all by faith. They're all by faith. And I'm sorry, but the scientists will just buck up. But when you argue it back and you really get them at the brass tacks of where things really come down to, they have to say, I don't know everything that's in the universe. I don't know everything that there is to know. I don't know how it could have come about. And you realize they hold their view by faith. We too hold our view by faith, because when it comes to origins, you cannot get back to absolute truth except by faith. And then realize your faith comes with a worldview, and your faith comes attached with a set of morals. And if you really want to argue people back to where they're coming from whatever set of morals they've chosen to live by, and they've got to have a worldview, they've got to have a view of origins that will allow their morals to be justified. It's fantastic. It's amazing when you get, and I get in arguments with people that are evolutionists, and I just go back with them, and I go all the way back, because they want to argue, I'm from faith, they're from science, and we just go back, and I keep asking them, do you know where this came from? Has anybody ever created a DNA strand in the laboratory? Has anybody ever created an amino acid out of a soup in a laboratory? And the answer, by the way, to all that for the honest scientist is no. They've never been able to do any of that. And yet they want us to take this monstrous leap into this world of all these amino acids. And not just this, but that an amino acid could create a strand of DNA the likes of which we would have an entire library to contain the information that is on that thing. And saints, what you come back to is, we understand that the worlds were made by the Word of God, and we do so by faith. They do so by faith. So you've got to understand, anything that we as human beings have as our foundational principles will come out of faith ultimately. Now, we ask the question scripturally, and understand my worldview, the worldview of the born-again Christian, is this: we believe God laid that foundation. And we answer the second question, and that is, who laid it? Scripture says this, Zechariah 12:1, the burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundations of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. You see, God is the one who laid the foundation. This is an amazing verse. It talks about God stretched out the heavens, which is kind of cool when you realize that the heavens are expanding. They're still stretching. They've always been stretching, and he's the one who stretched them out. Then you have this other thought. He laid the foundations of the earth. And then there's this one that really gets you, and he forms the spirit of man within him. In other words, life in the universe, life on earth, and life within your chest came about because of God's gracious activity. Then you have a situation where Job kind of gets a little uppity. Now, granted, Job, more than most of us, kind of had a reason why he was getting a little uppity. He was suffering more than probably any other being outside of Christ had ever suffered. But Job started kind of getting into the place where he started thinking about God. And so God said, okay, let's have a conversation. I know you've been through some suffering, but let's talk. You seem to think you know more than me. And then God says this, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now, gird up your loins like a man. I will ask you, and you instruct me. By the way, that's the moment where you say, I tap out, okay? That's the best time to spiritually tap out before that ever gets started. When God says, gird up your loins, I'm going to start asking you questions. Go ahead, I want you to instruct me. That's the moment where you hit the floor, and you just tap out. And you go, God, you're God, I'm not. I'm really sorry for whatever it is I've done and everything I've ever done, okay? Please. Then God says this, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? Or on what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? You realize that the earth hangs on nothing, which, by the way, that's what Scripture says. It hangs on nothing, with gravitational forces that keep it in the only place that it could rotate around the sun and we could stay alive. A little bit this way, we burn up. A little bit this way, we freeze to death. The line upon which the world was created is so incredibly exact that scientists still today, some of them really don't like this term, but they call it the anthropomorphic principle. Anthropology is the study of man, and what they're saying is the earth was placed where it was placed, or it's where it's at, based on the anthropomorphic principle, basically that the earth was made so that mankind and what's on it could inhabit it, because there's no other place in the world. And actually, they're coming more and more to understand it's not just the world. They think it's probably the entire universe. This is the only place that could inhabited life could exist. And I'm really sorry if that throws your whole love of E.T. off, but I'm just going to be honest with you. This is the only place life could exist, and they're finding more and more and more that's the case, and they're blown away by it, and they don't know what to think about it, and the whole thought that it happened solely by accident is beyond what they can calculate when they start trying to calculate probability and statistics on it. You see, you can bring their own science to them, and the only science you probably need to bring, two aspects. Bring to them microbiology, and then after you bring your microbiology, then bring to them statistics and probability. And it just all blows up. It just completely blows up. And then they wind up coming about with this view that there are infinite universes all throughout it, and thus, since there are infinite universes all over the place, of course, they've never shown us more than one, and we can only see one, but they say there are infinite universes so that there are infinite possibilities, and we're in the one universe among the infinite possibilities where life could form like it has. And it's just kind of like, dude, your faith is so much more than mine. You're talking about infinite universes, and you have never seen more than one. I'm just saying God made it. And by the way, God's fingerprints are all over it. But it's fascinating what we've come to, saints, in bowing to the scientific realm just simply because they throw their science at us. And much of it, saints, I'm just being honest with you, ever since it became unmoored from theology, and yes, theology has had its bad moments with science, and it basically came because people were stepping into an area where Scripture actually spoke about it. Why do you think they put leeches on people? They didn't read the Scriptures where it said life is in the blood. And yes, there have been some really horrific things that happened in the realm of science when people that were spiritual started acting on their own, and they acted more out of authority than they did out of wisdom based on the Scriptures. Anyway, I need to keep moving on. God laid the foundation. By the way, Jesus laid the only foundation upon which the church is built. Just look at this real quick. 1 Corinthians 3:11, no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That means you want to build a church on anything other than Jesus, you are not going to succeed. Not in a real church. Next thing is God has laid the foundation for salvation itself, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. That's a fascinating passage. 2 Timothy 2:19. Here's the foundation of God when it comes to... And by the way, the whole passage before that was talking about false teachers and stuff. And then Paul basically says, here's the foundation. God knows everybody who's his. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that just kind of mess with your head a little bit? I want him to tell me how I can know I'm his. You know that he brought you to himself. It's fascinating. And by the way, how do you know somebody's been brought to him? I'll tell you this. One thing you'll know, they abstain from wickedness. They turn away from sin. So it's fascinating. Let's move on. Every foundation will be tested. Okay, one, they'll be tested by storms. Luke 6 says this, when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house, could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Listen, saints, every foundation is going to be tested by these things. You are going to have storms. I don't want to do this because sometimes I do it too much, but if I were to ask for a show of hands, how many of you have had a storm in the last year? And we've had them. I mean, it's rough. Being a human is not easy. You're going to have all kinds of interesting storms in your life over the course of your lifetime. And what they're going to do more than anything is they're going to find out and test the foundation upon which you were built. Sometimes it's going to test what you've been building with. So these are going to be tested by storms. By the way, I just got a note here. Every foundation is tested by these things. Some think that when we are tested like this, we are being judged. In other words, God's mad at us. To the contrary, it is when God leaves a person in prosperity and in a situation free from difficulty, testing, and problems, that is actually scripturally where you see people under judgment. Go to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, don't go there right now because I don't have time. But in Psalm 73, David's like, God, I'm not really all that excited about you. I'm doing a paraphrase, okay? And he's just saying, God, I'm not really all that excited about you because my life's rough, and I look at the wicked, and they seem to be just fine. He said, they have a life bathed in butter. Is that not a great picture? They're just bathed in butter. They knew that Paula Deen one day would exist, you know? And so it's like your life is bathed in butter. And then God says to him, I'm going to bring you into the temple. He said, I almost betrayed God's people. And then I went into the temple, and God showed me their end. And he said, in the midst of their prosperity and in the midst of their plenty, they are put in slippery places and they fall all at once. How do you know when you're under God's judgment for your lifestyle? Saints, here's one of the things. Romans 1 says God gives them over to that lifestyle. They don't seem to feel the guilt anymore. They don't seem to feel any shame anymore. You need to realize what a wonderful gift conviction is. You need to realize what a sign it is that God loves you, that he convicts you. It says it is illegitimate children that are not disciplined by God and not true sons. And so when we go through the storms and the testing, listen, saints, that's not that God doesn't love you. It's that he does love you. And he's bringing, listen, your teachers love you, guys. If a teacher had taught me and said there's not going to be a test, I would be a moron. I would have sat in the class, and if I would have kind of liked it and kind of liked the teacher, I'd listen a little bit. But it was the fact of a test looming in my future that I studied so I would know the material. It was the whole idea of a test that kept me going. Listen, teachers, when you think, man, my teacher doesn't love me, he really gives me a really hard test. Your teacher loves you. Your teacher doesn't want you to be a moron. We are tested by storms. We are tested by fire. 1 Corinthians 3, for no man can lay a foundation other than one that is laid, which is Christ Jesus, okay? Now it says, now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Now I believe within there is a kind of a double meaning. I think there's fire just here on earth with the trials and the things you're going to go through, the things that you build, the kind of ministry that you build, the kind of lives that you seek to build are going to be tested by that fiery times that come into their lives. But I also believe that at the end of the age, when we stand before the Lord, we're going to be tested with fire. It doesn't mean we're going to go to hell. It just means that your works are going to be tested with fire. Anything that was built by silver, gold, precious stones is just simply going to be refined. But if what you've been doing is building your whole life with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be torched. One of the most glorious examples of it is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stand for God. They stand before God. They fire up the furnace even worse than it was before. And then these three guys step into the furnace, and I love it. They're wandering around in the furnace, which is just a trip in and of itself. And then they begin to step out of the furnace after they've been asked to come out because the king sees that not just three guys, there's a fourth guy. He looks like the Son of God. And so they come out of the furnace, and I love what they say. They say the king was amazed because the fire did not touch them except to burn off their bonds because they were thrown in tied up. All it did was burn off that which enslaved them, and it said they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Saints, that's an amazing thing. Realize that when God allows a testing and when he tests your foundation and when he tests what you're building with, we can come out of that, and the only thing we lose is that which held us in bondage, that which held us captive. Finally, we're going to be tested by God. Psalm 11 says this, in the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright of heart. That kind of sounds like the world, doesn't it? They're not really pro-Christian right now. And then it says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's what the psalmist said. He was kind of freaking out. And then he said this. God brings him to that point. And the Psalms are so cool because I believe the Psalms are kind of a conversation between the saint and God. And it says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. In other words, if it ain't affecting heaven, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because you know what the foundations are? The foundations are not what men can do to you in this world. Don't fear him who can kill the body. I'll tell you whom to fear. The one that after your body is dead may take you and cast you into hell. That's the one you should fear. The psalmist says the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked. And the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain snares, fire and brimstone. Burning wind will be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves the righteous. The upright will behold his face. Saints, as long as we know our foundation is in God, as long as we know it was made by God, it's all going back by God, if we have the realization we will see his face, who cares what they do to us in this life and on this earth? Second thing, Hebrews chapter 12 says this, and the voice, and his voice shook the earth then, but now, as he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. One of the things that AC did when he designed this building is he designed it for earthquakes. He designed it for, all that come into my head is San Andreas. He designed it for the fault that is near us. And he designed it, and actually as a result, the Red Cross came to us and said, can we use your building if there's a major disaster? And we were like, yeah, that's great. We don't have any showers, but yeah, that's great if you need it. If there is a major earthquake, a major disaster, you can use us. Because what's going to happen is there are a number of buildings, because when a shaking happens, it's not how pretty your building is. It's, is your foundation made to handle the shaking? And if it can be shaken, it's going to be shaken, and it's going to come crumbling down. This was designed in such a way that when the shaking comes, yeah, it'll knock some stuff off the wall, but the structure itself is supposed to be sound up to, like, I think it's a 8.0 on the Richter scale. And you know what? Beyond that, who cares, right? It's all going to be rubble anyway. You know, go see San Andreas on the 29th. Nothing makes it, okay? You know, don't, but because I don't know what that movie's like, except I will tell you there will probably be an earthquake during the movie. There's going to be a shaking, saints. And it's not going to be a physical shaking. There's going to be an earthquake in the spiritual realms. There's going to be the earthquake on the level of your worldview. There's going to be an earthquake on the level of your faith and what you believe. And that quake is already started. We are experiencing the tremors of it in our society. You need to know it is going to be a full-blown earthquake. And if your life is not founded on what cannot be shaken, you're going to be shaken greatly. Last thing I want to share, and it's kind of where we're going to go each week. It's nice to know these things, but I want you to know the last thing is this: rebuilding foundations. Because you know what? Yeah, there are some foundations, and they're a mess. And if you go to Isaiah 58, 1 through 12, it's a passage where God says to Isaiah, I want you to declare to the people their sins so that they'll see their sins and turn from them. And then what happens is God begins by addressing their sin, and they even said, hey, we're fasting. We're even fasting. God, why don't you hear us? We're fasting. We're doing all this religious stuff. And then God says, hey, you're fasting, but it's not the fast that I choose. And by the way, there's a way of fasting where all you do is go without food. It doesn't really do anything for you spiritually. But what God said is, here's the fast that I choose. And he says, and by the way, one of the first things he does is he talks about rebuilding their own lives, bringing them to repentance, bringing them to a point where they turn from their sin and they turn to him with all their heart. And their life once again begins to be founded upon seeking God's face as the most important thing in their life. And then God says what he does is he rebuilds their life. He addresses sin. He rebuilds their life. But then he begins to rebuild the lives of others through them. Is that not awesome? When God comes and he restores the foundation of his people, he does so that we would rebuild the lives of the oppressed, the hungry, the homeless, the poor. And let me tell you, saints, that's not just a spiritualization of it. It is the physical reality of it as well. People laugh at the church because the church just kind of abandoned all that to the government. And I don't think we like what we got, do we? God says, when he begins to work, he's going to do this. And then I love it. At the very end, it says, those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. And then he makes this statement, such a great statement. You will raise up the age-old foundations. And you will be called the repair of the breach, the restorer of streets in which to dwell. Saints, there are age-old foundations. And that's the fascinating, that's one of these terms that as I began seeking God, these were the things that he kept bringing to me. And one of those terms was this term, the age-old foundations. What are those? I believe those are the very foundations God gave us in Genesis 1 through 10. I think God did some things, and he started some things, and he laid some things, and he helped us understand some things about our world, even in its fallen state, especially in its fallen state. And what God wants to do, I believe in these next 7 weeks after Sunday, after today, which is the start, but in these next several weeks and as this summer series, as we walk through Genesis 1 through 10 together, I believe that what God wants to do is help us understand those foundations. What are they? And what we're going to find is this, and I'm just going to read this, okay? What are the age-old foundations? Well, I believe they are God's foundations for knowing him, which is called theology. And I'm sorry, I'm going to use a bunch of big theological words. I apologize in advance, okay? You can write them all down. You can sound smart, okay? It doesn't really matter. I don't know. Never mind. Okay. God's foundations for, number one, knowing him, which is theology. Knowing the world that is around us, which is cosmology. Knowing ourselves, which is anthropology, the study of man. Knowing a healthy society, which is sociology. Knowing our hearts, which is hamartology. And knowing how to get along with others, which is ethnology. And then finally, knowing how to be redeemed and saved, which is soteriology. And what we find is in those first 10 chapters of Genesis, God just lays every single one of those foundations. Not only his original foundation, but the foundation in a fallen world in which we now live. And so we come to the application of all this, and it's just basically three things. One, are you aware of crumbling foundations? I hope you're not blind to the fact that our society is coming apart at the seams. I hope you're not blind to the fact that our world is coming apart at the seams. It has been. Ever since the fall, it has been. It's just right now, it just seems to be doing so on a global basis that is almost, and forgive me, this is just my view because I look at prophecy and things, but I think it's prophetically significant. And if you believe what the scriptures say, it says it's going to get far worse before Christ returns. And I believe we're watching the fabric of society just unravel. Not just our country, not just our Constitution, saints, it's all over the world. The places where it really is the most stable is the places where people grasp their relationship with God and grasp the reality that though man may do everything to me that he seeks to do, God will always stand with me, and the issue is, will I see his face? Are you aware of crumbling foundations? Second question, is your foundation firm? Is it strong? Is it firm? Let me ask this, and man, I'm not asking for a show of hands, and please don't, but is your foundation crumbling? Are there things that you're dealing with that you're just like, man, I don't get why my life is falling apart? Or maybe you're looking around at a friend that you dearly love, and you think, I don't understand why their life is falling apart, and I believe that what God wants to reveal during this time will open our eyes to the reason why many of these things are happening. And then finally, does your foundation need strengthening? And I'll just tell you this, my foundation always needs strengthening. I want to go back to the beginning things. I want to go back to the start of things. I want to go back to that foundation again. I mean, it's why it's so healthy to preach the gospel to yourself every day. It's why it's great to go back and understand who God is and who you are and why you've sinned and the law of God, and then understand the grace of God and the mercy of God, and then even the work of God, not only in your initial salvation, which the Scripture calls justification, where you're declared righteous in God's sight, but then the work that God does in sanctifying you and making you like Christ more every day. It's so awesome to understand the foundations. And you know what? You may have to come back and look and say, man, I need to dismantle some of this stuff I'm building because I'm built on the wrong foundation. And it may look incredibly pretty. It may look awesome. Guys, I'll say this, pretty and awesome. It may look studly, okay? Especially if you're building with long pieces of wood called 2x4s. But regardless, you need to understand that is coming down if it's on the wrong foundation. God wants us to be built on a strong, firm, good, and let me say this, eternal foundation. One that, as it says in Hebrews, when God does come to shake the heavens and to shake the earth, you will not be greatly shaken. You will stand. And when the storms come, and when the winds beat and blow against your house, your life, it'll stand. It'll look like a storm's been by, but you'll stand. Then you have the joy of maybe going next door, down the street to those whose lives have collapsed, and offering them something upon which to build their lives that will last. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come, and I come and humble myself, Lord. You are God. You are amazing. You are incredible. And God, just looking at this, it's just whetting my appetite to dive into this. Lord, I know for many this will just seem like such simple stuff, the first 10 chapters of Genesis, but Lord, the more I've studied this and the more I've looked into it, Lord, it is profound. Understanding the moorings and the foundation of our theology and how we understand the world and how we understand ourselves and how we understand our relationship with other races and how we understand society and what it's built upon and why it's unraveling. Oh God, I pray that in your mercy you would open up your word, you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, you would enable me, God, to bring a word that would be beneficial to your people, and it would be the kind of word that would make them want to draw near to you and know you. And God, even as that brother shared with me this week, God, we would be the people we are meant to be. Not just educated in the Scriptures further, not just taught some really cool stuff, if that's indeed what's going to happen, but God, we would experience fundamental transformation in your presence of who we are, what we believe, how we live, and the very things that we set in front of us that we pursue with a passion. God bless your people. And Lord, bless your word. And Lord, I pray that you will help the saints this week to seriously look at foundations. Seriously see the things that are around them. Lord, watch the news and realize something is seriously wrong with our world and what they are founded upon. And God, help us to be founded ultimately upon you and an intimate relationship, a transformative relationship with you. We ask that you do this, Lord, in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, saints, let's stand together. We're going to have to kind of really go all over the place. Sorry for the long distances for some of you. But